Blog Talk Radio.
Apologize for being a few minutes late. I had an emergency call from someone, a family member that was in an emergency, so we just got off the phone, so I apologize. But I welcome Tom. Hey, Tom. Nice to have you on the show.
Thank you. Hi, Grace.
And Judy?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, I was a
from
few minutes late. I had
Tucson,
an emergency.
Arizona.
Yeah, they're from Arizona. I just want to let you know I had an emergency phone call from my grandson. He's down in Mississippi at the University of Mississippi, and he had quite a episode, and he needed prayer, so I guess that takes a little priority when the grandson calls.
Yes, it does.
So I appreciate your patience, and I thank you for staying on the line, and I see we have a caller already, 512. So if you just bear with me while we get the show started, I just want to get start in prayer, and I want to be able to invite the Holy Spirit here. I'm asking for the Holy Spirit, the mighty wind of God of Acts 2, to show up in the show today and move on us, remove all the hindrances, remove all the blockages, that the wind of the Holy Spirit would resurrect life just like it did in Ezekiel 37, where Jesus said, prophesy to the wind. I'm prophesying to this radio show and anyone that listens. I'm prophesying the wind and calling it from the north, south, east, and west, and declaring that the winds of God will blow out all the enemy's strategies, hindrances, torments, demons that it sent to harass and harangue, the fiery darts, the closed doors, the windows of revelation that you can't see out of. I'm asking for the wind of the Holy Spirit to move tonight. Move on everyone that's listening, everyone that calls in, and including us who are co-hosts of the show. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, you're going to do something supernatural tonight. I feel it in the Spirit of God. And I send that wind of the Holy Spirit, that mighty rushing winds of my grandson Nathan in the name of Jesus and that whole University of Mississippi. And I declare and decree today the winds of God are going to blow off over that university and things are going to change, atmosphere is going to change, lives are going to change. And I declare a righteous legacy over those students, over the teachers, and over that state of Mississippi. In honor of my friend Dwayne Tudor, who has passed away, and a Christian, I declare and decree he was an Ole Miss fan. And for his sake and for the sake of the gospel and for Jesus Christ, let the winds of salvation blow over that university in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So if anybody's got any additional prayer, Judy, you have. We're making you a Judy's scriptural prayer moments on the radio show, and you had a scripture today that you would like to share with the audience, and read it as far as you want to, as far as the Lord leads you to confess that scripture over this radio show tonight.
This is a scripture of strength and hope. It's coming. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. It's coming from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance. and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as man can bear. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. And then also in Isaiah 40, starting at verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. 29. He gives power to the faint and weary, and to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. 30. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. 31. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles, mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Tom, I see you're on. Do you have anything that you would like to say or comment or as far as prayer right now? We'll get to the Operation Spirit Run.
As far as prayer, well, actually, I was thinking about what Judy was saying, and I like the scripture that she chose, because I found myself in Sunday school talking about this, you know, as far as the temptation that, you know, the Lord will not allow a temptation that you essentially can't resist. And, it goes back to two different Sunday school lessons. A couple years ago, when I was giving a Sunday school lesson, I was talking about how Peter had said to Jesus that he would never deny him. And Jesus said, you know, you're going to deny me three times. And, you know, translation, I know the future. And so your meaningless commitments mean nothing to me. That's how I interpret that personally. And, you know, this scripture is, let's see, I guess going into the scripture that Judy just mentioned with that kind of thinking, I began to realize, because I found myself in a situation where I was under a lot of temptation, I began to realize that this scripture gives me hope. It tells me, you know, God who knows the future is telling me that I am able to withstand whatever temptations are coming my way, because he won't allow temptations to come my way unless I can resist them. And so that actually, you know, in a strange way, it gave me a whole lot of hope, because, you know, even though I didn't think I could overcome that temptation, you know, God knows the future, and if he's telling me that I can, then he must be right.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I just, I am burning up from the presence of God after being with my grandson, and I just, as we were praying and Judy was praying, I just felt I needed to pray the prayer that, because I'm almost trembling from after having prayed it. It's a deliverance from Satan and his demonic forces, and I just want to send this prayer out. And then area code 512, I'll get to you and I'll turn your mic on. But right now, I just really feel I need to pray this spirit again, and I just need to ask anyone that's listening or will be listening to this show that if there's repentance that you need, repent quickly, because we just never know what the enemy has plans, what strategy. Repent quickly. Rededicate your life. If you need to rededicate your life to the Lord by confessing that Jesus is Lord, he died on the cross, he was buried and resurrected and brought about life so that we could live a life of renewed hope and regenerating us for the glory of God to fulfill our destiny. And that just if you haven't received Christ, just ask him in your heart, believe that you receive him in your heart, believe that he died for your sins, and confess him as Lord, and that'll settle it. It's just you need to do that for this prayer to work, because no demon is going to stop bothering you unless you make sure you're right before God, because every time you go in and mess with the demon's territory, that door opens and he slithers in. So I'm just going to say this deliverance prayer from Satan to deliver anyone that's listening from Satan and his demonic forces. But you remember, you must be saved before you hear this and put your name in there. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come boldly to your throne of grace and present all the listeners before you. I stand in the gap and intercede in behalf of all those that would be listening to this prayer, knowing that the Holy Spirit within me takes hold together with me against the evils that would attempt to hold people in bondage. I unwrap every person listening to this radio show from the bonds of wickedness with my prayers and take the shield of faith and quench of the adversary that would come against the people. Father, you say that whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever I loose on earth is loose in heaven. So you say for me to cast out demons in the name of Jesus. So in the name of Jesus, I bind every person's body listening to this show, body, soul, and spirit, to do the will and purpose of God for their life. I bind every person's mind, will, and emotions to the will of God. I bind them to the truth and to the blood of Jesus. I bind them in their mind to the mind of Christ, that the very thoughts, feelings, purposes of the Lord's heart would be within their thoughts. I loose every old, wrong, ungodly pattern of thinking, attitude, idea, desire, belief, motivation, habit, behavior from people listening to this prayer. I tear down, crush, smash, and destroy every stronghold associated with these things. I loose any stronghold in their lives that have been justified or protecting hard feelings against anyone. They confess that they free all people of an offense against them. They forgive all people and ask God to bless those people and have mercy on their lives. I loose a stronghold of unforgiveness, fear, and distrust from the people listening to this prayer. I bind and loose these things in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to commission your ministering spirits, your angels of God sent forth from the throne that excel at the word of God, to go forth and provide the necessary help and assistance for those listening to this prayer. Father, I hold and lay hold of everyone's salvation tonight and the confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I speak of things that are not as though they were, for I choose to look at the unseen, the eternal things of God. I say that Satan shall not get any advantage over any person listening to this radio show, for I am not ignorant of Satan's devices. I resist Satan on the people's behalf, and he has run in terror from all the people that are listening to the show in the name of Jesus. I give Satan no place in their lives. I plead the blood of the Lamb over them, for Satan and his cohorts are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and your precious word. I thank you, Father, that I tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy in the people's behalf, and they are delivered from this present evil world. They are delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of your dear Son. Father, I ask you now to fill those vacant places within each person's soul, mind, and spirit with your redemption, your word, your spirit, your love, your wisdom, your righteousness, and your revelation knowledge in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that everyone listening to this show is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and out of the hand of Satan. They are justified and made righteous by the blood of Jesus and belong to you, spirit, soul, and body. I thank you that every enslaving yoke is broken now in the name of Jesus. They will not become the slave of anything and be brought under its power in the name of Jesus. They escape the snare of the devil who has held them captive, and henceforth does your will, Father, which is to glorify you in their spirit, soul, and body. Thank you, Father, they are Jesus, and they will manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Satan's works are destroyed in the people's lives, and in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, all these people listening to this radio show walk in the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, and hallelujah. Amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So I'm going to bring in area code 512. Hello, area code 512. May I have your first name and your state? Hello?
I wonder if that's me. I'm 512.
Yes, that's you. It's the only 512 I have on right now. Yes,
okay,
sir, that's you.
My name is Alan Mendez. I'm in Texas.
Hi, Alan. How are you? So you did get my message.
I'm on Central Time, so I was trying to see what time it was, but I got the message.
Okay, good. What can we do for you tonight, Alan?
Oh, sister, I was just calling in to just check out the radio show. I was curious how it was and what it was about, and I wanted to call in as just a guest.
All right. So that's kind of how we started. I mean, do you have anything on your mind that you've heard so far?
No, ma'am. Everything sounds great. I think this is my second time calling. It's been a while, and
yeah.
I just wanted to just listen in, and everything sounds great. I've been blessed so far.
Okay, good. So what we're going to do, Alan, I'll take you off the mic, and I'll just maybe check in with you if you're still on by the time we end of the show and just get your opinion. But we're going to go now to a couple of we have a special guest. His name is Tom Freedom. That's his writing name. He's a writer. And we're involved with Operation Spirit Run, where a man has received a vision from God. When he was running, he had a light appear to him, and God has told him to run across the top part of the United States from Los Angeles, California, to Massachusetts, Provincetown, Massachusetts. And he's running like 144 days, about 26 to 28 miles a day for the Lord, to bring Bibles and to stop along the way, to minister in churches. And he has a group of people, and Tom's part of his inner core, his team. And Tom usually comes on. They're going to start running in next year, February, March time period. And Tom's coming on to get practice on how to give us updates about this man's run, which is Chris McLeod. He's a major in the Army. And he's a part of a seven-man inner circle team, if you will, giving us updates. I'm going to go back to him for a bit, and then I'm going to teach him. I have a couple of things. On a prophetic from the Power of Pentecost, and this is the turnaround day with Chuck Pierce, who is a prophetic voice in the land, and Barbara Wentrobe. And they're both out of Corinth, Texas, which you probably know them. So I'm going to talk about them, and then I'm going to talk about Doug Addison, who is a dream interpreter, and he's out of L.A., and he's got a prophetic word. And so hopefully we'll get to that. So, Tom, if you want to jump in, and I'll put you on mute, Alan, and thank you very much for calling in.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Dr. So things are going along pretty well. I mean, it's actually, our motto for the run is going to be step-by-step revival. And I was telling Chris, I said, now Chris is the runner. He's going to be running 28 miles a day. And I'm going to be doing a lot of speaking in churches and prisons and, you know, addiction recovery centers and places like that. And I told Chris, we've known about this since August. We announced it in December. And I said, Chris, this has been so hard. I feel like I feel like I'm going to collapse when we get to the start line. You know, like it's already been so much work. And but at the same time, it's, you know, there's obviously a lot of value in all the preparation that goes into this sort of thing. Chris himself, he's been running. He's gotten up to 26 miles a day. He has until March of next year to get to that 28 miles every day routine, which is 6 days a week and for 5 months. So that's obviously it's a very big undertaking to do this. In some respects, I wish it'd go slower because, you know, we want to speak in as many places as we can. The purpose of this is to bring, you know, lost souls to Christ, but our website, which is operationspiritrun.org, you'll see that, you know, there's a couple mottos on there. We go where God sends us. You know, we have some ideas about the churches and places that we want to speak, but we, you know, we were talking about certain things, you know, would we go into this church or that church, and I thought, you know, the only safe way to approach this is to just go where he sends us. I don't care, you know, what kind of church it is or what kind of organization it is. If God says go, we go. And so that's our planning and our thinking. And, you know, in California, the churches there's 7,000 people in a single church, which is just big. You know, I don't know that they all attend the same service. Maybe that's two services in a day, but that's still huge. And so in California alone, just along the route, like very conveniently along the route, we could reach 100,000 churches. And, you know, I mentioned bringing lost souls to Christ, but, you know, my personal ministry, you know, the thing that I think Jesus has called me to do is to unite churches and also to set people free. And I don't have the whole vision of that. You know, God has been showing me piece by piece as time has gone on. There's been periods of time where I feel like he has overwhelmed me with too much information. So he's definitely talking. I'm listening and I'm writing notes and I'm trying to make sense of it all. You know, so I guess what I'm saying is even I'm not exactly sure how to set people free and unite churches, because that's not exactly a simple mission. But, you know, he's continuing to reveal things to me and it's exciting. And, you know, Chris obviously continuing to run. He's working out, he's training. He's, you know, he not only gets out and runs, but he does all sorts of different kinds of approaches to this. He runs up and down hills and, you know, obviously there's some walking in there, but then he does, he's got a gym where he works out and lifts weights and he's got I forget the name of the term. I want to call it a chiropractor. Somebody works on his back. And he's got a nutritionist, you know, so we're approaching this very, very carefully, very thoughtfully. We believe in the power of God to carry him across the United States. You know, we believe in the Holy Spirit to heal him as needed. We expect certain things to happen. We expect God to control the schedule. We think we're going to be going in March, but we really want him to decide. So it could be sooner, it could be later. We expect to run 28 miles a day, but you know, like I said, in California alone, 100,000 people just along the route. And if we were to veer, you know, say north a little bit, we could capture another 100,000 people in the churches alone. So this is exciting for us because so many people can be reached. We want to lead people to the Lord. We want to ignite the fires of revival. And we really do. I mean, it's interesting because we are seeing as we look around at other people in their ministries and we're observing that their ministries are easily compatible with ours. And we want to bring them in and leverage them because we feel like this is bigger than us. You know, it's not just the thing that we're doing. There's other people that God is calling, and he's calling us kind of all together. I remember listening to a radio show of yours, Grace, it was a show that you recorded a year ago where the man talked about light moving across the nation and love, and that was instrumental in leading me to the third part of the message series that I want to give, which is the message series would be light, fire, and love. That light and fire I knew. And then I listened to your program, and I heard this man talk about, you know, this prophetic vision that he had about light moving across the nation and love. And I realized that that was the third piece of the Trinity, because Jesus is the light of the world, and God is love, and the Holy Spirit is fire. And so it's neat to see all this stuff come together for Operation Spirit Run, and it's neat to get all these confirmations, because when you're doing something hard, when you're under attacked from the enemy, which we have been, you really need confirmations that will give you confidence and faith that this is what God wants you doing.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's awesome, and I just get excited every time I hear that you've made one more step forward to identify, like build the process or build the project so that it's just fine tuned. And Chris, he called me tonight, and he's running right now. As we speak, he's running. So it's pretty interesting, the dedication that he's putting through this. I can't quite get over it myself when I think about it. But yeah. I wanted to talk about this Chuck Pierce. He's a president of Global Spheres out of Corinth, Texas. He has an apostolic prophetic ministry that is being gathered to mobilize the worshiping throughout the world. He's also president of the Glory of Zion International. It's a ministry that aligns Jews and Gentiles together with a prophetic gifting that helps direct nations, cities, churches, and individuals in understanding the times and seasons in which we live. Let's see if I got something on Barbara here. I have mentioned her in the past before, but she's apparently a part right now of his of this prophetic word. So she says, this is where she begins to say, a new joy for a turnaround time. This is a time that I'm opening hearts and spirits in a new way. I'm removing the darkness that has been there. In removing the darkness that has covered up my plan for your life, I'm coming to shine my light in your heart in a new way. And what you could not see in the past season, you're going to see in this season. I am coming. Where you thought your future was bleak and dismal, I'm coming to break the power of gloom and doom off of you and to break the power of hopelessness off of you. There's a new joy that's going to spring up on the inside of you. The joy is going to bubble up like a fountain, and it's going to bubble up like a peroxide bubbles up. The joy is going to bubble up, and it's going to wash out the doubt, the unbelief, and the hopelessness that has yielded and held you back, yielded its spirit and held you back. Today, I am releasing in a new way. I'm cutting the cords today that have held you bound, that have held you back. Even as the donkey's court, the master has need of you. This day, I break every assignment of debt and poverty that has been in your family line generation after generation. I'm raising up a family of wealth creators. You're going to be amazed when, in the next few weeks, you're going to be amazed at what I will do. This is a turnaround day for you. I'm turning you around, and I'm turning you away from the loss of last season, and I'm turning you away from the disappointment. I am turning you toward my purpose. This is your turnaround day. Turn toward me. Watch and see over these next few weeks what I'm going to do in your life. And that's from Barbara. And then the power of celebrating Pentecost, which we're in right now. This is such a key time to position ourselves for breakthrough. As we approach and go through this Pentecost, we must continue to develop an expectation of how the Lord's desire to send and rend the heavens and pour out his spirit. He is shifting our mindsets and understanding for increase and multiplication to cause his body to prosper in new ways along their journey in this life. So that is their prophetic word. It just came out, it just came out, let me see when he said this, it came out June 7th of this year, a couple days ago. And then I have, there's a Steve Porter. It's a prophetic charge for June 26th, 2016. And let's just see what he has to say. And he says, and it's a vision of sowing seeds. He says, in a vision, I saw a vast field ready for someone to sow seeds to bring in a harvest. The sun was gently setting. The field was plowed and ready for someone who had a vision for something more than just an empty plot and was willing to do the work to push until something happened. I sense the Lord showing me that he has also had a spiritual field that needed seeds sown for future harvest. That could be Route 6. Will he find laborers this June with enough tenacity to sow the seed, with a sense of desperation for something more than what the church already has? For there is a much more God that wants to plant and a huge harvest for us to reap. He said, I saw a desperation hitting the body of Christ in June 26, a mounting desire to constrain the Lord and see his hand move toward the earth as never before. I heard the word pressing. I saw a corporate gathering where they set aside man's agendas to seek after the Lord afresh, pressing in deeper to move in the glory, humbly seeking what the Lord wants to do, setting aside human plans and purposes. I sense the Lord saying, as my people seek my face first with sincere, hungry hearts, I will surprise them with visitation. And that's the name of this, or my new show, the title, Visitation, Manifestation, and Demonstrations of the Glory of God. And I got that from Jerry Savelle, who was also out of Texas. Texas always brings out the good stuff, Alan, just for you. When I move, my people will become content with only me and will no longer desire anything less than the fullness of what I want to give them. Press in, he says. I sense the Spirit imparting a deep desire to press in. I saw a renewed desire to pursue and press, to discover the depths of the plans of God for our destiny. What does it mean to press, he says? What does it mean to constrain the God? To strain the Lord. When you hear the word constrain, sometimes you think a term of restraining or resisting or limiting someone's ability. But when I use the word constrain, I'm talking about a tugging or pulling on someone. To constrain, to pull, to press speaks of a heart attitude that desperately wants closeness with God, someone who's eager and excited to be his friend. I sense the Lord saying, I long to see a generation with a holy hunger to press into me. They have a desire to constrain me, to apprehend me, to hold me, to move and dwell with me and never leave. In Strong's Concordance, the word constrain is defined as to compel, to urge, and to press. This is not an ordinary request. It's a persistent, heartfelt yearning, and as a result, they press in, they stay close, listening, and able to hear the still, small voice of the Spirit. It's a heart that pushes for a deeper level of fellowship that's not satisfied with a casual encounter or relationship. How many people do you know right now who want nothing more than a casual encounter with God? Oh, God, just come and bless me. Oh, God, just do something. They're not compelling him to come and to stay close. I find that if we compel him, if we're really hungry for him, and if we really press in, he will come and meet with us. I sense the Lord wooing his people to come close in June, as he has much to reveal in the days ahead if we have ears to hear, waiting on him, what the Spirit of the living God is saying. The problem is that we love our watches. And if the Lord doesn't come after 5 minutes, we give up and grow weary of waiting, then go on to the next activity. If we don't see results after an hour, we become discouraged. We need to ask the question, is this something that's so deep inside of me that I can't help but call out to him? We'll call out to him and say, Jesus, Son of David, come into my life and move by your Spirit. Come by your Spirit and talk to me. Come by your Spirit and walk through my home and my life. I want you 24/7, Jesus. turned my life upside down this summer. So sow seeds in June for the season to come. It is just a prayer, something you say without conviction, or do you mean it with all your heart and all your guts? Because if it means everything to you, you don't give up in defeat. He will come and move in your life this summer, but he wants to know you really mean business. Do you really mean business? Many say they want to press in, but once tested, the truth is that they are mere lip service givers. Jesus, the sweet master, is truly worth pursuing no matter what it takes. If you have to pursue and pray and fast for weeks or hours a day, then do it. Just do it. Press in and constrain the Lord to come and manifest himself to you this summer, resisting the temptation to giving up before you see it happen. Don't squander another summer, says the Lord. Press in. I sense the Lord asking his church to sow seeds this June for the seasons to come. He is looking for a tenacity and perseverance to press in and stay in the secret place. If you want more of God, don't take no more. No, don't take no for any answer, because he wants that kind of fellowship with you more than you could ever dream. Don't give up and never give up. And that's from Steve Porter. He's founder of Refuge Ministry. They believe that through the presence of God, healing takes place. They have a passion for conducting presence-driven intimacy conferences, missions, and restoration ministry. He's written many books, and he's has a special anointing to bring forth the deep truths of the Spirit with a clarity and simplicity that draws one up into a closer walk and deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'll open it up for any kind of comments.
I love that. I thought it was great. The this Operation Spirit Run thing that we've been doing, God has kind of called me to do some things I didn't understand. And actually that relates to a dream I had planned to talk to you about kind of tonight a little bit, just to mention. So I guess I can tie it into my thoughts on what this guy had said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to give you a quick excerpt of the dream, and then I'll get back to my comments about what he said. So I went up into a mountain for 3 years, and God prepared me there. Each day he had me do a set of tasks. They were given to me by God. God knew my mind was incapable of understanding what he was doing, so he conditioned me over a period of years to a series of automatic tasks. He made it possible for me to do something incredibly complex by teaching me unnatural reactions to common things. I loved God and told him he would, and he told me, excuse me, that he would reveal his purpose to me before I died. He was purposely keeping me in a state of confusion because it served a purpose. The plan he had would not be successful if I understood it. That was the comments that I made after I had that dream. And, in fact, I found myself making very similar comments to a friend of mine after a Bible study. The scripture that says, any of you who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give generously without reproach. I mentioned to this friend that I had thought of that scripture. I had asked him why he was asking me to do certain things that was creating conflict in my life. And the answer that he gave me was, if you understood why I was telling you to do this, it wouldn't work. So I'll tie that all back into, this man's, all the things that you just read, GR. Being in this position where you're called to do something you don't understand is precarious, and it hurts. And sometimes we just don't enjoy that. We like to know why we're doing something. And in fact, one of the scriptures that is on our website is, we walk by faith, not by sight. And I think that all of that stuff kind of works together for this point. I found myself crying out to God and saying, God, if you're going to call me to do something this hard, I really need you to show up. You called Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, and I know this is not that level, but calling me and asking me to do something that doesn't make any sense to me, I need some help here. I need to make sure that the things that I'm doing that don't make sense are what you're asking me to do, because if it's not you asking me to do it, then I'm, you just feel like you're crazy. And actually, I mean, even Jesus himself, the Bible talks about how his family thought he was crazy. So I guess, you know, feeling like you're crazy isn't necessarily an indication that something is wrong. Sometimes that might be an indication that things are right. But anyway, it's very encouraging to me to hear what you just said, because, you know, I've been wanting this. I've been saying to God, you know, if you're going to call me to do this, I feel like you really need to show up. Because I need to be certain this is from you and that this is what you want me doing.
Yeah, but sometimes, from my experience, I've found that he purposely withholds the answer because he's trying to build faith. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And it also is the only question he's going to ask when he returns. And he's asking it in the Bible today. Will I find faith when I return? If you have all the answers for everything, you don't need faith. If you got everything planned out and a schedule and whatever, that's not faith. Faith walks things out that they don't see and believes the God of the universe, the one that we believe in as Christians, it has everything in control. All we just got to do is walk it out. And as we do, we go from faith to faith and glory to glory, experiencing Jesus at greater levels and greater dimension, but you can never get there if you got all the answers. So I found in my life, if God is going to return and ask, will I find faith when I return? I want to be full of the faith of God, which is the Word of God. So when I don't understand, yes, I pray James, ask for wisdom. But the first thing I do, and if I get a dream, I'll go and it leads me back to the Bible. So I find, until my spirit's satisfied, I find a word that stills the storm within me. Because one word from Jesus is all you need. And so that, if I look at this, and I mean, I'm only talking about out of my own life's experience, because he says, just do it and don't give up. I remember when I left a huge job at IBM, and he gave me the scripture in 1 Chronicles 28:20. Judy, and I've quoted this to you so many times, you probably can quote it back to me, but it's be strong and of good courage and just do it. Fear not nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God will not leave thee nor forsake thee till he finishes the work of the temple. And if you read on further, he'll give you people in your lives that help you finish building the kingdom of God and the temple for the Ark of the Covenant to be within you, in your Holy of Holies. And that's what he's after, to build the kingdom of God within us. And it takes the walk of faith to allow that Ark of the Covenant to rest within us. And then we just move and have our being through him. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, it's very good.
And Judy, you could quote that, couldn't you? You could quote that scripture.
How many Bibles do I have? I probably got it all underlined and starred and highlighted and highlighted again.
Yeah, it's like building a plan, like David gave Solomon the plan for the temple in Jerusalem, but it also was the earthly temple. And the results of Solomon's life was that he was the wisest, because that's what he asked when the Lord appeared to him, had a visitation in the night. He had just sacrificed 1,000 animals. That's a lot of sacrificing. And then the Lord appeared to him, but that's how they did it in the Old Testament. And he asked him what he wanted, and he asked for wisdom, and God gave him everything else. He gave him the neck of his enemies. He gave him long life. He gave him wealth, and he's been the wealthiest man that ever lived, and nobody today has surpassed his $500 billion worth that they estimated at least now. And he had wisdom, and kings and queens from all over came to just sit under and hear what he had to say, his proverbs and his understanding of things. That's what I want. I don't know if I got enough lifetime to get all that, but
That's the cry of my heart. Alan, do you have anything? I turned your mic on. Just wondered if you had any thoughts.
On the young gentleman or on what you're saying about Solomon?
Ever. Whatever. Whatever. Whatever.
Oh,
whatever,
yeah.
Lord.
Yeah, you know, man, that's beautiful what you said about King Solomon. You know, what gets me is all that, and it's very beautiful what you said about King Solomon, and I'm not going to go there. Yeah, when you were speaking, sir, I think your name was Todd. Was it Todd?
Tom.
It's Tom.
Yes.
Tom? Tom?
Yeah.
Am I saying, I really like what you were saying. And I liked your passion that you have for God. And as you were talking, I heard the Holy Ghost telling me that, yes, you are in a season for growth. And a molding process is taking place, is how I hear it, in your life. And you're not supposed to understand it all. It's because God is going to break you down and give you more and put you on a level that you would have never, ever thought you could be at. And that is the reason why that you're in a season for growth. What I hear the Holy Ghost telling me is a season of growth for greater is upon your life, sir.
Wow.
I'm not going to go too far in that. I did want to say hi to Judy. God bless you, Judy. I always love hearing the voice of an elderly woman that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Tom, I'm excited about your life, because that molding process that you're going through, and you spoke about, and you have to excuse me, I'm looking at some other things, but you spoke about confusion, right? Am I remembering that correctly? Okay. The reason why that's happening is because that is a part of the process for you growing into greater, or you growing into more, because in that confusion state that you feel it is, it's not really confusion. What it is it's like the potter and the clay. God is removing some things from your life and even adding some things, and you can't really comprehend it right now because you're growing into more. I just wanted to clarify that a little bit. So I'm going to end with that because this is not my talk show. But again, the Holy Ghost will want me to tell you that you're in a season for growth, because you're moving into greater, sir.
Wow, thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Alan. I really appreciate you giving that prophetic word. I have seen you over Facebook, because I've watched you've been on my site and everything for quite a long time. And so I appreciate
I
know the word from the Lord, and I know that you can
I'm glad you said that, heard from the Lord. Yeah, yeah. While also, and forgive me for being rude, but before this word gets out of my spirit, I heard the Spirit of the Lord telling me to tell you that He is going to be sending strength unto your life, GR. And I know GR is your initials. I remember you told me your name a while back. I forgot it.
Grace.
Okay, good. Grace. Yeah, I remember that. I'd rather call you that than GR. But when Tom was speaking, and you began to speak about Solomon, and you really began to speak about the things in your heart and how you want to be in your life and how you want to grow in God, all the proper expectations of a true Christian. I heard the Holy Ghost telling me to tell you, that strength He is going to be giving you in this season of your life, and you also are going to be crossing over into more, But there's some things that Satan has sent your way to try to knock you down. I hear the Spirit of the Lord telling me to tell you that God is going to handle that. Strength is going to be given unto your life. And you're going to get back on your feet, and you're going to continue to move forward. And when you come out of this, you're going to be a lot stronger than what you've ever been before. I'm going to end it on that. God bless you both in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much, Alan. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I took Alan's mic off, and let me just see. I want to go to Doug Addison. I also have him here. And this is very good. I'm really feeling the anointing on all of this. I've been burning up since I got off the phone with my grandson and got on this radio show. I'm just a flame with the fire of God. My cheeks are like just giving me strength, because that's what the fire does. It burns off the dross and it just gives you strength in the Lord. And this happens to be a prophetic word from Doug Addison out of Los Angeles, California. And I feel it appropriate because that's where you're going to start your run, Tom. And it says, God is moving quickly, strangely, and strongly. This is the word that went out in Los Angeles. And it's from Doug Addison, and he is, let me just give you a little thing, he's a prophetic speaker, life coach, and stand-up comedian. He's known by his daily prophetic words, spiritual connection webcast, podcast, and blog. Doug's message of love, hope, and having fun reaches people around the world. His unique style of teaching and coaching helps open people to discover their destiny and experience God's supernatural love and power. And him and his wife live in Los Angeles. So this is what he's saying. This is a turning point, and things are going to start happening at a fast pace. Watch as new doors will appear for you after June 13th. This is the end of the Jewish Feast of Weeks, also known as First Fruits, Leviticus 23:15. It occurs 7 weeks after Passover. Seven is the number of completion, so 7 weeks ago, God released something powerfully new from heaven and is now coming into your life. If you did not feel anything, hang on, it's coming. Passover this year was so strategic, because it came after the four blood moons, by the way. I have been having divine encounters nonstop since then. Now, 7 weeks after Passover is June 13th, and God is going to jumpstart these new things in your life. God spoke to him of Isaiah 60. Which is arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Though there's darkness on the earth and gross darkness out of the people, God is going to shine a light of brilliance. So wherever you go, the light and the glory of God will change everything. And you can pull prophetic promises out of Isaiah 60 and watch for them to come about quickly. I am seeing this happen in my life already. I grabbed a hold of 5 verses from Isaiah 60, and I have been praying them in. Suddenly, things are shifting. God is moving quickly. The least of you will become 1,000, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord, and in its time I will do this swiftly. This is Isaiah 60:22. God is raising up the smallest to become mighty. For those who have walked through a time of pruning and purging this year, you will be raised up into new levels of authority, and he is doing it swiftly starting in June. It says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the ones who's treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills, which is my last name, by the way, Amos 9:13. And that means new wine. That's a new anointing, which strengthens, like Alan had said, and what God is pouring out. In Romans 5:5, God talks about pouring out his anointing, his love into our hearts. That's an anointing that happened. And I actually had a vision of an angel doing that to me last year. Things are going to shift in order to bring about the new wine from God. The new harvest that is coming is going to look so different than previous times. Many will be tempted to reject or judge it. In many ways, it might even appear as evil. But God is doing this new thing for the sake of the harvest, for the sake of souls. God is looking for people who are willing to leave the 99 to go after the one, like Jesus did in Luke 15:4. God is moving strangely. Expect to see your answer come, but be open to it looking different than you might have originally envisioned or requested it. God is going to take things that have been against you and turn them into a blessing in the end, but you will need to battle for it. Genesis 50:20 tells us that God will turn things that were intended for evil into good. This is happening starting in June. And for the next few months through September, this is the scripture. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many souls. It is important to get the eyes to see and trust the Lord to work all these things out. They will indeed work out if you do not give up. There's that do not give up again. God is moving strongly. I have been experiencing radical moments of God's power. I just got healed of a nearly four-year affliction that had nearly taken me out. I have had terrible reactions to my environment that would cause me to have panic, anxiety, and even hysterical episodes. After being carried off a cruise ship where I was supposed to minister, having to leave meetings and being literally tormented, I finally got to a place last January where I was no longer able to travel, and that was Doug Addison. So see, I've been struggling too, and it's good to know that I'm in good company, because anybody that's doing anything for Christ has got some struggles going on, because the enemy does not want you to succeed or walk through your destiny with the authority that you know you have and with true spiritual identity in Jesus Christ. He says, Doug goes on to say, I got healed my first night there, May 27th, and my energy returned. Anxiety, fatigue left, and after four nights of continual prayer, I got totally set free. I got off all medication and I'm trusting to recover my life again. I highly recommend going there if you can, or at least catch he's got a live stream on this. But the power of God there is greater than what I've seen since 2008 at the Lakeland Outpourings. That's down in Florida. This is the eighth year since Lakeland. Now, listen, this ties right in with what Alan had prophesied to me, that it gave him more strength, and through continual prayer, he got off medication and started. I'm not on any medication, but I was feeling in a lot of anxiety and fatigue, and it just ties in with the prophecy that Alan just got before I started reading this. The power of God, there, like I said, hasn't been as great since 2008. Todd Bentley is restored. God is using him to ignite a fire that is going to take the world. And it says, I came home to California this week healed and seeing God move in my life quickly, strangely, strongly. This is a time to cross over to all that God has promised you. A key to this will be letting go of previous perceived ideas and judgments, and probably any unforgiveness we may have in our life, too. And he says, blessings, Doug Addison. So, what do y'all think about that?
Very uplifting for the time that we're in.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. How about you, Todd?
I like that he gave it. Yeah, I like that he gave timetables.
Would you say that again, please, Judy?
I said I was glad that he gave us a timetable, which is between June and September. So that means it's right now. It's the now word for the now time. And it's to encourage us that those of us who have been going through a lot of struggles, that the Lord is in the process of turning that around so that as we come out of that, we can minister what we've been through to others, and the other people that we minister that word to, they will then get uplifted and they'll spread it to the people they know. So it's like the Lord giving a chain. And he's putting new links on it every time we tell people about this prophecy, that it just goes out. And it goes out in all different directions. And maybe Jane can't talk to Robert, but maybe Robert hears it and it goes to John. And John is the one that really needed the word. even though Robert was the instigator of giving it the word to John, then John took it and flew with it. And then and in the case of all the other people in between, they all took the word and they flew with it. So it's,
right.
it's very a very powerful now word. And I'm expected.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. Can't wait to see what God's going to do next.
I can't either, Judy. Well, the other thing I wanted to mention, he talked about fasting. He talked about reading Isaiah 60 every day. And he even mentioned Amos 9. So, I mean, it's a good word, Amos 9:13 and Isaiah 60:22. It's a good word. And with any prophecy, we have to take that prophecy and we got to pray it and work it and do it and activate it in our lives. So it's a nice word and it's a wonderful word, but don't forget, anyone that's listening, take this thing, show God you're diligently seeking him, and he'll pour himself out on you. You just can't receive and not do. Whatever you receive from God, you got to activate it and do it back. That's why he's a big do-it God. He wants you to do it. Whatever you know to do, even what Mary said about her son, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And so that's what we got to do. And we do have another caller in here that I'm going to bring in and see if they want to talk. Okay, area code 570, who am I speaking with?
This is Todd Snyder.
Hey, he's a friend of mine.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yep. Actually, he's come to the planning board meetings. He was, you remember Paul McGuire and Troy Anderson?
Yeah, from the
Babylon Code. Todd was instrumental in connecting us up with those guys.
Oh, wonderful. So, now was he at the last meeting?
Yes.
You know, at the train station or wherever that place was?
Yeah, sat next to you.
All right. So you got on. I didn't remember your full name, but you finally got on. Hallelujah, Tom. Todd, I'm sorry. So you were having trouble finding locating. So thank God. Welcome to the station.
Well, I was listening online on the computer, and I was getting all kinds of interference with different things, and finally I just got on the phone and just started listening there and cut my computer off.
So what do you think, Todd? You've been trying to get on for a few weeks now. What do you think? What are you hearing?
Well, there's another thing I was listening to, another prophet person. It's on Thursday nights, but I decided to get on this one, and especially since I know you and Tom, but just wanted to hear what had to be said. I did listen to the message of May 26th while I was at work, but trying to listen to it without the interruptions.
Okay.
I have a feeling that it's not nobody on this call. It was here in my home.
Oh, okay.
My mother was texting me. My wife was on the phone, and I couldn't hear barely through the headphones that I had through the computer. My son coming in and out, dogs barking, a loud truck driving by. And I was definitely being hindered from listening to this call.
Well, it must be something good, because I'll tell you, it's been good for me. I came on it. I don't know if you got on the first part of it, but my grandson had called in an urgent kind of thing, and I prayed a prayer. It got me all fired up, because you know when a grandson needs help and he's calling his grandma and he says, "Keep it secret, Grandma. Don't tell anybody." And you know he's not doing so good. And you get a hold of the Holy Ghost to tell those demons they're not going to do nothing to him. I was so on fire by the time I got on this radio program, I thought, my gosh, am I going to be able to even do anything? And I just was, but I'm still burning up from it. And from all the teaching and all the good just communication, it's wonderful for me. So does Tom, did you have anything on Doug Addison? Did anything jump out at you?
Yeah, actually, first of all, it left me speechless, so I was glad Judy jumped in. He said so many things I could relate to, and so as Judy was talking, some ideas were popping into my mind, and the thing that really stuck out was where, you know, God is looking for people who are willing to leave the 99 for the one. I used to be the opposite of that. I used to want, you know, big groups of people, and I, you know, God instilled in me a care and a concern for the one. And the other thing that stuck out at me, and this is kind of related to that, was that ever since I embraced the ministry for Operation Spirit Run, I felt like, you know, I could almost see it like chess pieces that the devil was putting into my life, people he was bringing into my life for very specific reasons. And then God was, you know, putting counter chess pieces into my life, people who were intending, God intended to block those pieces from the devil. And it was so interesting. It was so vivid to me. I could see each person and I could see them positioned. And it was encouraging to me that God was putting people into my life for my protection. But the thing that caught me by the most surprise was that a few of the positions or the pieces that the devil positioned in my life, you know, when the devil puts chess pieces in your life, you want them out. The gut reaction, the natural thing to do is to drive these people away from you because they mean you harm. And I decided, there were a couple people that, you know, I prayed and God did take out. But he left some. And I thought, boy, if God's leaving these, then maybe I'm supposed to deal with them. So I started kind of praying to God for guidance in that. And I felt like he said, you know what, I don't want you throwing these people out of your life. Yes, the devil positioned them as chess pieces, but you don't get to throw them out. And I thought about it, and I decided to do what God said. And I can't say that that went well, at least not yet. It hasn't gone poorly yet, though. The biggest thing, is the impression it left on me. God cares about people. And he cares about the individual. I mean, a lot of the books in the Bible, you know, they're named Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're not Russia, China, Turkey, and Israel, you know. I mean, God cares about the individual, and he wants us to care about the individual too. And I think it is awfully tempting to throw somebody out of your life who is inconvenient, who means you harm. But, it was so enlightening to me to realize that even though some of these people came from the devil, God said no. You know, and I do believe he's going to turn these people around and use them for his glory, and I guess for my information, I'm going to, you know, I have already learned from this, but I can't wait to see what he does. The least of you will become like 1,000, according to Doug, and I believe that for these folks that the devil positioned in my life that meant me harm are going to become powerful tools in God's hand.
Yeah, and I think all of us have to learn that old saying, you know when to hold them and know when to fold them. And, but we need to embrace our Judases, but know which ones are the ones that are going to benefit our life, not just torment and tear us down or tear us, keep us from the fullness. Because Jesus never got rid of his Judas. He took him with him right to the end. And so, you know, we got to know which ones to hold. He didn't have all kinds of Judas around him. He had one, you know, and he knew that he was a Judas, and he knew he would serve his purpose so he could get on the cross for us. And I find that amazing. And so if you take that down to our level, we got to have a Judas that will let us in our lives, that will put us on the cross, so we can fellowship in the sufferings of Jesus Christ like he did to become more like him. So, but we can't have 11 Judases and one, you know, one apostle. We got to have 11 apostles and only one Judas. We don't need to have our whole life filled with all these people. So we got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. And that's tricky.
Yeah.
You only can get that through that gift of discerning of good and evil, being led by the Spirit. You know, because there's only so much of all of that you can take. When it becomes all of your life, you just got to move on. No. You know, there comes a point when enough is enough, and I think that's Psalms 46:10. Enough is enough. Be still and know that I'm God. And if you look up the commentary on that, it says enough is enough. You have finally given that person over, or that situation, or that lack, or that whatever, over to God, that He'll take care of it now. You've come to the end of yourself. So, just an added thought from my own experiences of trying to deal with people.
Thank you.
And try to be loving and not throw people out with the bathwater, you know. Judy, you got any comments?
That's just so overpowering. What's been said already into the air, it's just so powerful. I can't even hardly make notes. And you know I like to take notes, so. I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, should I go after another one then?
Mm-hmm.
Another prophetic word. There's not. There. Let's see. Here's another. Here's a breakthrough word for 2013. Let's see what that's about.
Okay.
That was done June 3rd. These are all current. These were within, you know, kind of the last week. This prophetic word is from Russ Walden from Branson, Missouri. And this is what he's saying. Let's see. He is a prophet and a marketplace minister for over 30 years of the service in the kingdom of God. They have the Father's Heart Ministry in Missouri. And the ministry that Russ moves in is not just talking about Jesus, but manifest and activating the demonstration of the Spirit and the demonstration of power. Each day, Prophet Russ releases a powerful prophetic word that encourages thousands, and written a lot of books face-to-face with the Father, which is what Job discovered once he saw him face-to-face. And so let's see what he has to say. It's 2 Chronicles 20:20. He says, "Believe the prophet, so shall you prosper." The breaker anointing is being released through the prophetic word. In this prophetic word for June 16th, we speak of the Christ of God in you and destroy the illegitimate authority that seeks to impede your destiny. The Father says, "I am calling up prophets to the nation. I'm calling up nation confronting prophets who will confront the nations with my mercies and confront the nations with my goodness and confront the nations with my loving kindness." Now, this is just my comment. Everybody is talking about how God's going to judge. And I'm hearing a lot more prophets saying, as long as they can find 10 believers in this nation of America, God wants prophets to confront the spirit of judgment and condemnation that is trying to come on this nation when God has not given up yet. He's not left this nation behind. And he wants the prophets to confront, and many of us on this radio station have a prophetic word, of mercies and his goodness and his loving kindness. The prince of the power of the air is being disenfranchised, and my glory is being released over the nations of the earth. The reign of my presence is being felt in the land, even the reign of my glory. Announce my goodness and enunciate my goodness, for it is my goodness that brings men to repentance, not judgment and condemnation, says the Father. Let my goodness be in your mouth, and my anointing will break every yoke and cause wickedness to be removed from the earth and the righteousness to be established and remain in it. I am about to demonstrate my sovereignty in the earth. And that's what also Job learned, by the way, that God was sovereign, says the Father. I am about to demonstrate my sovereignty by signs and miracles and wonders that my people will be able to, will be unable to marginalize, and the nations will be unable to ignore. So be called up into your mantle. Be called up into your moment. This is the moment, and your moment, that the mantles in the earth are being released, activated, and commissioned, and that includes everyone listening to this radio show. Be a father pleaser this day, not a man pleaser. Refuse to be afraid of the faces of those who do not believe and will never believe. Attach yourself to my purposes and do not run to the right or to the left, for a shift has been called for in the heavens, and you are my herald to make it known in the earth. And that actually was Doug Addison's message. There's a shift taking place. He even had a picture of a shift in his prophetic word, a shifter. So would anyone like to comment on that prophetic word? Hello? Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, just wondering, because I did get a message from Blog Talk that my Skype to host connection was somehow being needed correction. So I don't know what that means, but is everybody still on the line? Judy, you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Tom, are you on the line? Maybe not. Well, I have pretty much covered about three prophetic words, and I'm really sensing in the spirit that it is time to wrap it up and pray a final prayer. So, Judy, mm-hmm. did you want to do the final prayer for tonight before we close off the show?
Yes, I will.
Okay, good.
Dearest Heavenly King, we just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by the power of his blood, by the power of the Word of God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, we thank you profusely for these prophetic words that have been spoken so clearly into our hearts this night. We just are overwhelmed with the joyfulness that you think on us, so that we can know that you are in our lives and you are surrounding our lives with people that will confront us, but also will reveal to us areas that maybe we have not considered. And Lord, we thank you that these people will open up thoughts and maybe areas of things in our lives that we have not realized that we need to open those doors and let the light of God come in and cleanse them. So, Lord, we just profusely thank you for these words, to know that you are on the throne and the light and the cloak of your love just comes down and surrounds each one of us and tells us and leads us, guides us, and directs us, as in Psalm 24, 1 through 3 says, I call him my three green lights. He will lead us, he will guide us, and he will teach us what to do and when to do it, and how to do it, and it will bring God the glory. And we thank you and praise you for this revelation that has been put in our ears and our bodies, our hearts, and our spirits this night, and we just love you for it, and we thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.
Let's see, am I... Oh, no. Okay, I guess you can hear me now. We had another caller come in, so I'd like to take that caller. It's area code 412. Who's calling, please? May I have your first name and the state you're calling from?
My name is Sandy.
Sandy, what can we do for you tonight? What's on your heart?
I just happened to get on to listen to the program. And I was just, you know, trying to get more of God.
More of God. Yeah, that's what we were talking about. Did you just come on or have you been listening all along?
No, I just got on like 50 seconds ago.
Oh, okay, because sometimes people listen to it off to the side, like we have Todd. He's listening. He was listening to it on his internet, and then they come on because they want to usually pray or whatever. What state are you from?
I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm from Pennsylvania, too. So, and I used to live outside of Pittsburgh, actually, Greensburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Well, I live in Bridgeville, which is outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Well, is there anything we can pray for you, Sandy? Is there anything?
Can you, about my job and I'm trying to, things that I need in my home as far as, you know, work that needs done and the finances to get them done.
Okay, so let me just, I want to pray a prayer over you about God's mercy on your finances. And so if you would give me a few minutes to just speak this over your life.
Okay.
And we just got through talking about God is good and the goodness of God is going to settle and rest on people's life. That's a prophetic word that's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he just, I quoted a prophet of God that is by the name of Russ Walden. He's from Branson, Missouri. He's got a breakthrough word for June 2016. And this is what he's said, that the Father says, I'm calling up prophets of the nations. I'm calling up nation-confronting prophets who will confront the nations with my mercy and confront the nations with my goodness and confront the nations with my loving kindness. So he wants to, nations are people, and we're the people of the nations and of the earth. So he really wants to unite with his goodness, his mercy, and loving kindness. So I'm just going to read a prayer that I have that covers very similar. And if there's anything during this prayer that hits you, please note it, and we'll just have a little additional prayer on it. It says, God is good, and his mercy endures forever. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and help us to stay on track. God is a good God, and he is, and it is his will for you, Sandy, to prosper and to enjoy good things. That's good housing, good life. He builds good houses, if you read it in the scripture. God is not mad at you. He loves you, and he wants to bless you with abundance. No matter how many times you may have messed up or people in your family may have messed up or whatever, even if what we did was really bad, he still loves us. He doesn't condemn us. He's not disappointed with us. He's cheering us on because he wants us to succeed. And even when I make stupid mistakes, or you might have made stupid mistakes, God still loves us, because many of people in the Christian community make stupid mistakes with money, and we need to cry out and ask God for wisdom and prudence in dealing with our money. Even with jobs and finding a way for the right job to show up at the right time with the right people and the right connections. He always loves us. Even when we miss the mark and slide into sin or whatever, he still loves us and is quick to forgive us. So when we confess our sins, even if we've used money poorly or whatever, heaped stuff on ourselves, even, and I pray this over myself a lot, even when my financial difficulties are the result of my own poor decisions, he still promises to deliver me. He still promises to restore me and prosper me. He still promises that there's a job for me. He still promises that there's a project to get my house fixed and have it in right order so that when people look at me and look at my house, they can say, this woman serves the living God. She knows her God, and her God knows her. His plan for our life is success and abundance. He will never fail us, even when we fail him. So he's faithful when we're not. He crowns our life with tender mercies and loving kindness. Exactly the scripture or the prophetic word that came from this prophet. And we're called to believe the prophets from 2 Chronicles 20:20 in order to prosper. So if you want to go back at some point and listen to this teaching that we had tonight, and especially grab this Russ Walden's, believe this prophet, believe God loves you, he's got tender mercies, and he's going to do good to you because he's a good God. He knows how to do nothing else but be good to you. So call on his goodness for what you need, for it endures forever, and he will make it happen. Okay?
Okay.
All right, does anybody else have anything they want to say on this? Hello? My people? Where are my radio people?
Here, and I think, it's Judith, and I just believe that prayer that you just read to Sandy is applicable to all of us, and it's a beautiful prayer, and thank you for reading it, not only to Sandy, but to us.
I'm going to read, this is out of Charles Capp's book, and it has to do with a job, and this is for employment, so I'm just going to read this, and I'm going to put your name in it, Sandy. So Sandy now resolves and put aside all negative limiting beliefs about where she will work and what kind of job is available to her. Sandy opens herself to all of God's possibilities. Sandy calls for a perfect, satisfying, well-paying job to manifest in her life. Sandy is always in the right place at the right time with the right people, for the Spirit of God directs her steps. There's a divine connection in the process of happening, and we, with this word, we send it to the throne of God, and we ask the Lord, God the Father, who only gives instructions to the angels, to excel on Sandy's behalf tonight, making possible her desires of her heart to be fulfilled. Ministering spirits who are called to be servants to the heirs of salvation, which we are his saints, the heirs of salvation after Abraham. So we send those angels to go forth and minister on Sandy's behalf, preparing the right people at the right time in the right place for the right job. And we thank you, Lord. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, for there's nothing impossible with you, Lord. Nothing.
Thank you, Jesus.
So hallelujah. There, I just believe you got
a
job.
Thank you, Lord.
If you just confess it and just say, Lord, I thank you for my job. Now is just thanking him because we already prayed it and the angels are at work bringing it to pass. Now
thank
all we got to do is we thank you in advance. We thank you. Some people say we thank you on credit. I don't like that credit term, but we thank you, Father God, in advance for what you're about to do. And I'll give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And we thank you for giving Sandy a testimony that she'll be able to call back and declare that she's destroyed the works of the enemy through her testimony of this prayer. We thank you, Father.
Thank you, Judy.
So there you go. I am about ready to close the show. We just had Judy show up, and she not just showed up, but she had a prayer before you got on the line, Sandy. So we were getting ready to end the show. So I'm glad you called in just in time. So I know there's no coincidence with God. When you called in and we were getting ready to end the show, God wanted you ministered to, for sure.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for calling in. Thanks, everyone,
okay.
for calling in. And may you all be blessed. Have a wonderful night of sleep. And thank you for joining the show. I've just been blessed myself, and I praise you, Lord, for all of it. We give you all the honor, all the glory. There's nobody like you on this earth. Nobody can do it like you can do it, Jesus. There's a sweeter name. And I thank you, Father God. So everyone be blessed. Thank you for calling in. And good night.